WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Britain's Princess of Wales says she's completed chemotherapy treatment.
The last 9 months have been incredibly tough for us as a family. Life as you know it can change in an instant. And we've had to find a way to navigate the stormy waters and road unknown.
The news comes in a video statement from Princess Kate released by Buckingham Palace.
The cancer journey is complex, scary, and unpredictable for everyone, especially those closest to you.
Kate, who is 42 years old, revealed a cancer diagnosis in March, but there's not been any specific information about it. She appeared twice at public events in June and July and now says she will return to some public duties in the months ahead.
With humility, it also brings you face to face with your own vulnerabilities in a way you've never considered before. And with that, a new perspective on everything.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
540 AM WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. At least 65 people in 9 states are sick after eating eggs infected with salmonella. Public health and agriculture officials have traced the source to an egg farm in Wisconsin. The eggs were distributed to Wisconsin, Illinois, and Michigan under labels like Milo's Poultry Farms or Tony's Fresh Market. They've since been recalled. Donald Trump has denied knowing much about Project 2025, but he embraced one of its key provisions at a Saturday rally in Mosinee.
We will ultimately eliminate the Federal Department of Education and send education back to Wisconsin and back to the state.
Project 2025 is a sweeping action plan for the next Republican president to overhaul the government. Last week in Wisconsin, Education Secretary Miguel Cardona warned public schools are under attack. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A dispute over tattoos at a Heartland bar last summer has resulted in a 7-year prison sentence. 65-year-old Kevin Seamer of Waukesha was sentenced late last week. He was found guilty of felony murder and the death of Josh Davies. He died from head injuries he got when Seamer punched him outside the bar. In addition to the 7 years in prison, Seamer was also sentenced to 5 years of extended supervision. The Great Lake is getting props from the governor. Tony Evers has proclaimed September Coastal Awareness Month in Wisconsin, highlighting the crucial role of Lake Michigan in the state's economy. Lake Superior did also get a mention. The proclamation is said to serve as a reminder to protect the state's Great Lakes. In celebration of the month, a guidebook has been released. The 2024 Wisconsin Great Lakes Chronicle features articles on various coastal issues and initiatives. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
The Brewers get set to head west. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. After dropping 2 of 3 games to the Rockies and having won just twice in the past 7 games, manager Pat Murphy said that it was a tough homestand for his team.
You know, it was a tough homestand, and we've had games like this. If you looked at the St. Louis series, we had games just like this where once something didn't go our way, we didn't produce right. We didn't fight back right after that.
Milwaukee will set out on a 6-game road trip out west beginning tomorrow in San Francisco. They'll play Arizona this weekend. The Brewers are still 9 games up in the NL Central with 19 games to play. On Sunday, it'll be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. For the Packers, they will be without Jordan Love, who is expected to miss at least 3 weeks with an MCL sprain. Malik Willis, who the Packers traded for in the preseason, will start this week's game. The Athletic reports that Green Bay has reached out to free agent quarterback Ryan Tannehill as well. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Once again, high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
in a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken? Chicken sandwich with pepper gravy, wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides. Stop in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser helps us with a little Manure 101. There's a lot to know about finding the right balance between good crops and dirty water.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our outstanding host, our producer and engineer. I'm reading three things at once. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, September 9th, 2024, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. It is a beautiful, sunny day here in September, already into the second full week of September. Mr. Zommers, how the heck are you?
Doing well. Had a nice weekend, and we're back here. Block off the Capitol Square.
Yes, ready to go. It's a little hazy, according to weather folks today. That is because of the wildfires already going on out in California and other places out west. That jet stream brings it across the country, and so it's not going to rain today. It's technically sunny, but because of that smoke in the upper atmosphere, it could appear very hazy in much of Wisconsin for parts of this week. I think the only day of rain they're talking about is maybe Friday this week. Otherwise, we are in beautiful. If we could cap this weather up and keep it for about 6 months, I would be thrilled.
Maybe the smoke, maybe that's why I kept sneezing like crazy morning. If you have asthma, consider staying indoors today.
Going to be an interesting show, I think, today. Going to catch up on a lot that happened. Of course, the Trumpster was up in Mosinee earlier or this past weekend on Saturday. We will have some of his disturbing clips over the weekend, what happened there. Liz Cheney went on ABC's This Week. I thought it was a great interview. She addresses the question, is she still a Republican? What she thinks of Vice President Harris' speech at the Democratic National Convention, and what she thinks of maybe her former party or her current party. We'll tell you a little bit later on in the show. And of course, her dad, former Vice President Dick Cheney, endorsed Vice President Harris over the weekend as well. We know that Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota will be back in Wisconsin this Friday. No exact time or place set yet. Civic Media will plan on carrying that wherever it is on Friday. But coming up first tomorrow night, it is the highly anticipated first presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald Trump. Tomorrow evening, special coverage of the debate begins right here on Civic Media, beginning at 7:30. Tune in for analysis and commentary from the Civic Media News team. Also, Dan Schaefer, our new political editor, of course, will be along with Civic Media News director Terry Bell and myself. Looking forward to that again, covering the presidential debate coming up at 7:30 tomorrow night.
Brought to us by ABC.
Yes, thank you, Bob. We have the lawyers are always telling us what we have to say. We have to say technically is brought to us by ABC. Thank you, Mr. Zommers, for keeping me out of jail there. Always appreciated. And don't forget later on today, very happy to announce this, beginning today, 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Our now colleague, once again, Dominic Sylvia for the Dom Sylvia Show, will air weekdays across Wisconsin on 10 Civic Media News Talk stations, 4 to 6 during the evening drive time slot. Cannot wait. It is Dominic Sylvia, or as I like to refer, I think the show could be called The Italian Stallion and Dom's Sex Kittens.
That is the alternative.
That's
title.
The working title, but I'm not sure whether he'll take that or not.
I don't think that one is approved by the lawyers.
No, but I don't think so either. I don't think. And a little bit later on, probably at hour two, I will tell you about my weekend. Was back at the Richland County Fair this weekend. Ooh. Beautiful Richland. Had a good time. Stopped by the Democratic booth. Talked to folks there. Learned some things. I'll tell you what Democrats on the ground are saying. We might get into that a little bit with our next guest. And also was at Wisconsin Dells. Saw Clint Black, who was outstanding, by the way. And a big thanks to Paul and Gary and Phil, who went with me. The opening act, though. Boy, howdy. Angry. And disturbing, to say the least. I will tell you a little bit about that coming up a little bit later in hour number two. But right now, I am welcoming here to the desk live in the studios here on State Street. We always love it when it happens. He is the former state Senate majority leader here in Wisconsin, a former state senator, of course, a former school board member, an all-around great guy, and unofficially my former boss, Democrat Tim Cullen. Always glad to have you here, Senator Cullen. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
It's I say unofficial because my last 4 years in state government, while I was working for State Senator Dale Schultz, Republican, who is technically my boss, you and Dale, and a lot of people have commented about this on the show, you and Dale in particular, at times former Democratic senator and former leader himself, Bob Jelk, from the Poplar Superior area up there, the three of you worked together, but in particular, you and Dale on this issue of redistricting. And the two of you got so close, and our staffs, Jim and Kelly and myself and people in our staff, we all got so, it was almost like we had two bosses and two staffs, and you guys were like, we don't care, just work together and get it done. And so it was always a great pleasure traveling around the state with you and Dale.
Yeah, that was a fun time. We ended up going up north because of the mining issue in Ashland County, in the Pinoki Hills of Ashland County, and the horrible idea was they were reducing the environmental laws for mining. You get this big mining company coming there, right, to destroy the Pinoki Hills.
Thousands of jobs, Walker said.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And Dale and I learned so much up there. We enjoyed it. We had got to know people in the Bad River Band of the Lake Superior Chippewa. We went out there and met with their tribal leaders and just all across. And also there have been disputes up north between the white people and the Native Americans. On the issue of that mine, though, they were both against it.
Yes. And you and Dale and Senator Jelk, along with all the Democrats at the time, combined, at least temporarily, to stop that. And I don't know, you were a majority leader and been around for a few years. I don't know when the opposition party has ever worked with a member of the majority party in the state Senate to momentarily take control of the floor.
You know, well, what happened was there were some recall elections as an aftermath of Act 10. And so for about 6 months in 2012, the Democrats had the majority in the state Senate because a couple of Republicans had been recalled. And that lasted 6 months, and then their gerrymander kicked in, and that was it for us being having anything to say about anything.
By the way, a technical note, a couple of texts coming in. Why are we not on Facebook Live? Luckily we have the Civic Media app. We appreciate that. We're working on technical difficulties with Facebook. I'm not sure whether Mark Zuckerberg just doesn't like my vibe or what, but we're working on that.
It's happening for other shows, too. It's on Facebook's, and there's something not working with their live stream stuff.
So we're working on it. Appreciate people reaching out, but we're continuing to work on that. Senator Cullen, back to the matters at hand here. So, yeah, you worked together to temporarily stop this things happening up north with mining. And then you and Dale worked around the state and was really the impetus for what we now have, or at least fairer maps, the Supreme Court adopting the Evers plan. But it was you and Dale back in the early 2010s that were going around the state. And it was one of the most eye-opening moments of my 30 years in public service working for politicians, government leaders, because you guys would go in small towns and large across this state, and you would get up there and talk about people who no longer are in golf foursomes together because of Act 10 and the way government is not working together. People no longer sit in the same church pews, on and on. And standing in the back of the room, I would see people shake their heads in agreement, lean over. It was the most physical reaction to anything you guys said when you talked about that.
Yeah, that was, and of course, the advantage we had was he was a former Republican majority leader, me a Democratic majority leader. So it was very easy for nonpartisan groups to have us come because they weren't having just one person from one party. And Lead Women Voters groups wanted us to come and talk to them. Noon Luncheon, you know, Rotary Club, things like that. They wanted us too because they had one from each party. So we don't know exactly how many times we talked over between about 2015 and 2019, but we estimate it was somewhere around 90 times around the state. And Dale and I loved doing it. We had a great time and did our part anyway to educate people about what's wrong with gerrymandering.
And I just want to educate people for a moment because to you and I, it seems like yesterday, but I mean, it's been a minute, as the kids say, since all this happened. And Senator Cullen and my former boss, Dale Schultz, in a bipartisan fashion, you guys crafted this bill that would have basically a citizen coalition, non-elected officials craft the new lines every 10 years. And you made it was going to be effective basically in the next cycle. So you didn't know who was going to be in charge. And it was based on the Iowa model and somewhat the California model. And at the time, Senator Scott Fitzgerald, who is now a congressman, he was Republican, of course, would not even give that bill a hearing. Wouldn't even give it a hearing, and you guys on your own dime predominantly went around the state and had your own public hearings, and it was enormously popular. And really, that was the basis for what Robin Voss tried to get through late in the game this time, and it was the basis for what the Supreme Court ultimately approved to have these fairer maps. I know you're not a guy who's going to toot your own horn, but does it make you feel good for the people of Wisconsin that what you and Dale started in the early 2010s at least partly came to fruition now?
Well, sure, it does feel very good. But I can't even say much more than that without acknowledging that these groups like the League of Women Voters across the state, the Common Cause of Wisconsin, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, there were other organizations that worked like crazy during those same years. And I think combined all together, we helped something happen. But there was a lot more, way more than Dale and me.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. We're talking to Tim Cullen, former Senate Majority Leader, Democratic Senator from the Janesville area, and appreciate him being here. We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, Tim, but I want to set this up. You're not here just to reminisce about good times of the past. And this is one of the things I really appreciate and love about you is you're a guy who's just infected with public service. And even though you're not an elected official anymore, you're still getting it done. He's here to talk about his brand new book, Third book. There's a new one called Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Right for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters by Tim Cullen. We're holding it up to the cameras there if you're watching on the live stream. And Mr. Zomers is going to put a link here in our show notes as well where you could buy this great new book. And we're also going to talk, Tim, about not just the book and the importance of it, and it is important, but also what you're doing, the proceeds, about a minute and a half before the first break. I think that's the cool part, if I can say that. But tell folks what the proceeds do. Yeah.
Well, I make no money on this book. All the profits from the book go to two scholarship foundations, one in Janesville, one in Beloit. And they are, the one in Janesville, which I started in 2008, is called the Janesville Multicultural Teacher Scholarship. And Janesville, like so many communities, a formerly almost all white community, has become much more racially diverse. But our teacher corps was almost all white. When I started the program, the teacher corps was 99.5% white.
Wow.
And the students were 16% students of color. That 16% in 08 is 32% today, and it's on its way to 40.
Wow.
So started a scholarship program, all private money, no public money. Provide scholarships for people of color who want to be teachers and agree to teach in Janesville or with a scholarship program in Beloit. Same thing, but teach in Beloit.
Come back, talk about this foundation, talk about this great new book, Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters. We have the author, the great former state senator, Tim Cullen, in studio, and your phone calls on the way as well. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
540 WAUK invites you to rock this Tuesday evening with another Tribute Tuesday concert at Frame Park. This month, it's a tribute to soon-to-be Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, Foreigner.
And my heart would be here with you, with us. I'm a long way from home. Foreigner Forever pays tribute to one of rock's most iconic bands. The show starts at 7 p.m., so get there early to grab the best spots at Frame Park.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
There's food, drink, and fun from 7 till 9 this Tuesday at Frame Park.
I want to know what love is.
If you can't make it, listen to 540 WAUK as we broadcast the show live starting at 7 p.m. It's the final Tribute Tuesday of the summer with WAUK and the Waukesha Parks, Recreation, and Forestry Department.
The Shaw, WAUK.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, September 9th, 2024. Glad to have you along with us here to start the week. Great guest, wonderful friend, and someone that... you know, working in government for over 30 years, there are some parts that frustrate the hell out of you. And then there are some things where you walk away from it and you're done with it. And you think, I was so fortunate. And getting having the honor to meet and get to know Tim Cullen and kind of unofficially work for him and Dale Schultz together and Bob Jauch. It was one of those unique opportunities where it doesn't get enough credit and play for how government can work and how elected officials can work for their constituents. And Tim Cullen is here in studio. Senator Cullen, great to have you here. You have this great new book, Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters. Here's a through line that I've seen. You tell me this is right or wrong, not just about you, but... elected officials, senators, assembly people, congressmen, governors, the folks that really want to get things done, they have this theme, in my opinion, that if I'm elected, when I'm elected, I'm not just here to represent the people that voted for me. I'm here to represent everyone in my district or everyone in my state. And that to me is a citizen legislator. That's something that I look to you, I look to Dale, I look to Bob Jauch, other Republicans, even like to a large degree, I think Mike Ellis, certainly Brian Rood, former Republican president, leader in the Senate. Is that true in your experience?
Yeah, it sure is. And in fact, one of the greatest, I think one of the greatest state senators in history was a state senator, Republican state senator named Tiny Krieger, Clifford Tiny Krieger. And he gave a farewell speech when he didn't run again in the January of 1983. And in one of my books, in Ringside Seat, I put his whole speech in, the whole retirement speech. It told the whole story just the way you told it and how important it was to not forget where we came from and why we're there. And it was just, I mean, I can't, you know, go on and on about it here, but it was just remarkable, and I just admired that guy so much. He had been an old progressive, and then when the progressives broke up in 46, he went in the Republican Party with La Follette. But he was really a liberal progressive Republican, right, to say the least.
Yeah. Would not be part of the MAGA party today. Would not win that way.
No, he would not be in that party.
No, not at all. Tim Cullen, let's talk about your great new book here. I just got an autographed copy. I'm very excited to read it. Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters. Mr. Zomers will have it in our show notes. But if people want to pick it up, Tim, where can they buy and pick up the book?
I'm giving talks around the state as we get them scheduled. And if you hear about those and want to come to those, I'll be there talking about the book, selling the book, signing the book, whatever. And then you can go to littlecreekpress.com.
Little Creek Press.
Littlecreekpress.com. That's my publisher. And they can get the books through her as well, too.
So. Sounds good. So tell us a little bit about the book and tell folks what led you to write it.
Well, I saw gerrymandering happen. I was in the Senate from 74 to 86, left, and ended up coming back 25 years later in 2010, which when we got to know each other. Mm-hmm. And the difference was unbelievable because I saw the gerrymander happen in 2011. I saw the election results in 2012. And the problem is that when you have a gerrymander, which means you draw the lines of the map in such a way that a legislator in a majority party can't lose. I mean, they'd have to be arrested for 3 or 4 different felonies. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not today, but...
used to be.
Yeah, and what happens then is this, the general election is decided the day the maps are drawn, not on election day. You can't lose the general election with these maps. But when you can lose is a primary election. So it depends on who gerrymanders. In Wisconsin, the Republicans gerrymandered. In Illinois, the Democrats gerrymandered. So this is a bipartisan problem, to say the least. If you don't vote with your leadership all the time, your own leadership will recruit a primary opponent because they're not risking losing that seat. Because it might just be a different Republican or Democrat. It won't be the one they want to get rid of, because the one they're getting rid of is trying to work with the other party, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So gerrymandering costs a lot in terms of any capacity for the two parties to work together, just because of that. And it's the same for the minority party, whoever they are. If it's somebody in the minority party starts talking to somebody in the majority party, they can get a primary orchestrated by their own leadership. Mm-hmm. All this, I always like to say that it's not a partisan issue. It's an abuse of power issue, because the day the maps are drawn, the general elections are over.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons I respect you. I love to read. I can't wait for you to read this book. I've heard you talk about this in person, is that you're not partisan on the issue. You're certainly, as you said, most recently in Wisconsin, it's been Republicans, but Democrats as a party do not have their hands clean on this issue either. And you've talked about that.
No.
As a Democrat.
there the partisan states that I know of is obviously Illinois, but also Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And I think it's North Carolina, maybe. Or I think that's it. But there's other states too. But and there's other Republican states besides Wisconsin. There's Michigan, for sure. Mm-hmm. I know.
And of course, out in California, it took Arnold Schwarzenegger, again, the kind of Republican that probably couldn't get elected today. He took on his own party and the Democrats out in California because of his celebrity and money. And they have a different system out there. Long and the short of it is that they're able to put things are called propositions, which are different than legislation or referendums, and they can directly vote things out there in California. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, with his own money and own popularity, went around the state and got a proposition to create a commission to do redistricting out in California. So you have, again, it's not just one side that's working on trying to make things better. You did have a guy like Schwarzenegger in California. They got it done.
Yep. He was quite a governor, frankly. Right. Well, the thing is, that gerrymandering is so bad because in a gerrymandered state, there's no chance for reasonable legislation to pass. Depending on which party has a gerrymander control, it'll be further left stuff if the Democrats are the ones that gerrymander in other states, and further right if it's Republicans have gerrymandered. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get good. It's all. People go, how does this affect, what I do in my home and my family and what happens with my taxes and whatever else.
Sure.
And if I care about public education or I care about abortion or I care about streets or whatever it is, you don't get the reasonable legislation that all the issues you care about. That's why gerrymander hurts you on the things you actually care about day to day.
And that is something we get calls and texts on this program all the time. Todd, why can't they work together? And Tim Cullen just laid it out. It's because of gerrymandering. Not only don't you have to, you point out in many cases, you can't if you care about your political career, because if you even attempt to reach across the aisle and compromise, you'll be primaried within your own party by your own leader. And that goes for both parties.
Yes.
And so it's literally rigged. There's an appropriate use of the term that Trump loves to use, rigged, that gerrymandering rigs the legislature so that compromise can't happen. Is that hyperbole or over the top?
That's exactly right.
Well, there you go, from a guy who knows.
Yeah.
And so I'm very hopeful. The other thing we talk about this program a lot is hope. I'm hopeful these new maps, we're going to see some movement. And people have to move to the middle to get elected. We'll come back on the other side, talk to former State Senate Majority Leader Tim Cullen about that, and take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Back with Tim Cullen. Your phone calls on the other side of the Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Matt Nair on Air.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The mission to reform the outdated milk pricing model has been going on for a few years now, and deadlines are approaching that mean we're making progress. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Monday. We'll talk about the timeline with a Wisconsin dairy economist next.
Curious about how to eliminate weeds in organic vegetable farming? Get answers at the Oats Organic Weed Control Workshop, co-hosted with Marble Seed on September 19th in Athens, Wisconsin. Farm owner Cad Becker and organic weed control expert Sam Tilton will guide participants through the many vegetable weeding tool options available. You'll tour the farm learning about weed ecology and how to adjust your approach to match field conditions. Visit organicagronomy.org to register and secure your spot today.
Chuck Nicholson is an associate professor and dairy economist at UW-Madison. He tells us where we stand in the federal milk marketing order reform process and reminds dairy producers there's a deadline coming up soon.
We're in a good place in terms of getting to the end game on this. As you know, this has been a long process, as these administrative processes kind of tend to be. We're going to have an important deadline coming up at the end of this week, the 13th of September, and that's when comments from the public and from major dairy organizations are due to USDA for them to consider about whether any additional modifications might be made to this thing that came out on the 1st of July, this recommended decision, which was basically a statement of, here's what we're thinking we're going to do about milk pricing.
Chuck Nicholson, along with us, a dairy economist, reminding us that the comment period for the proposed changes to the federal milk marketing orders are due on Friday the 13th. Chuck Nicholson will also be speaking at the Federal Milk Marketing Order Workshop happening September 18th, both in person in Madison and virtually online. You can learn more about that at pdpw.org.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And from Farm First Dairy Cooperative, serving dairy farmers across the Midwest since 2013. Farm First Dairy Cooperative, member-focused, member-driven, member-led. Be sure to keep up with Pam and her travels at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook at Midwest Farm Report, on Instagram at MWF Report, or by downloading the Midwest Farm Report app.
Monday, midday from Chicago, Class 3 milk prices are seeing a rally. The October contract is up 35 cents at $23.19 a hundredweight. The November Class 3 milk contract is up 30 cents at $22.59. Grain markets are mixed. December corn is down 2¾ cents at $4.03½. November soybeans up 11 cents, trading at $10.16 a bushel. And December wheat is down 4 cents at $5.63 a bushel. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the low 80s this afternoon. The wind out of the west at around 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, upper 50s to near 60. Tomorrow, partly cloudy. Once again, high in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case a game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the creator of the Meet the Parents franchise. Greg Liana joins the show to tell us where we can see his indie film classic, and casting director Rex Sykes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are here in studio at 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Monday, September 9th, 2024, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, with our wonderful guest, the former Senate Majority Leader from the beautiful city of Janesville, Democrat Tim Cullen. Senator Cullen, always a pleasure. Thanks for being here. He has a brand new book out, his third, called Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters by Tim Cullen. And you can pick it up anywhere that you see Tim on the circuit across Wisconsin. Zomers will have it on the screen as well.
I think also several Madison bookstores have it.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. See, you're this is like your third act, I think, right? Or fourth or whatever. I mean, you've done a lot of things in your life.
Yeah, I've been lucky. It's somebody... When I retired from Blue Cross after 20 years, the Milwaukee Journal did a story, and the title of it was "An Unplanned Life," and that's certainly good. What my life has been. I was going to be a high school social studies teacher, mm-hmm. so look what all that happened. I would have been happy doing that, but you know, to be in the school board, be in the state senate, et cetera, work. I was in Tommy's cabinet.
Yeah. Secretary of Health and Human Services. Yeah,
largest agency in state government, which then also included corrections. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a separate corrections department. And then I worked for Blue Cross for 20 years in the private sector and went back to Janesville. Then that's when I ran for the school board. And the Senate seat, state Senate seat opened up in 2010. I thought, oh, I know how to do that. I'll go back up there if they'll elect me.
And they did.
And I walked into... the gerrymander and the deep in the minority party, and wasn't as rewarding as the first time.
Yeah. I don't want to go down the road too far, but since you brought it up, just I'd forgotten at the time that corrections was under Health and Human Services. What do you do if you're Governor Evers right now with corrections? I mean, all these problems at Lincoln Hills and whatnot. I mean, what do you do?
Well, I write a lot about that in the book, actually. There's something called prison gerrymandering, believe it or not.
Really? You describe it.
It has to do with them. The census, when they do the federal census every 10 years, in the year that ends in zero, they count people by where they live. Well, guess what? Prisoners live in prisons. Mm-hmm. So they count them in the assembly senate seat where they live, not where their family is. You know.
But they can't vote.
They can't vote, but they're counted for.
Wow. That. I didn't know that.
And what has happened in Wisconsin over the last 100 years probably, is it's been a very, very much a political decision where a prison is located. And political power in the rural areas is more Republican, and they've had control of state government all through most of the last century, really. Mm-hmm. And so when they need a new prison that was built in a rural, small-town area, that's where all these are. I mean, yeah. Waupun's not that big of a city.
Boscobel?
Boscobel, there's several west, you know, over near the Mississippi.
Nacita, I think.
Yeah, yep. Mm-hmm. All because a legislator wanted them. Well, that's good for the politics and the legislator, but it's not good for prison policy. So what happens is we've got these prisons in these rural small town areas. A lot of prisoners coming from Green Bay and Manitowoc and Milwaukee and Racine and Kenosha and Janesville, Beloit, et cetera, mm-hmm. Madison. Those prisons are a long ways from their families and their friends. And so are they going to get up there and keep a good relationship with a prisoner when it's a five-hour round trip to visit him or her, or in him in this case, with the men's prisons? And that's what creates problems. And so what you end up with is rural, small-town people being guards, and they're almost all white. It's not their fault. That's where they grew up. And we got a prison population that's racially diverse. They don't know each other. It leads to problems, and hence we saw the big problems in Waupun in June, early June, where 9 employees of that prison were indicted, mm-hmm. including
the warden.
Including the warden. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that all plays out. But I had written about all that and finished writing that part of the book, and I pick up the paper the next day and hear the whole thing I talked about Waupun in the book. Mm-hmm. And It's just amazing. So what I say all that because what Governor Evers, I think they need to do is these prisons are old, first of all. They shouldn't be putting any money into renovating any of the old prisons. They need to relocate the prisons closer to the population of Wisconsin. Governor Thompson actually did that. He put one down in western Racine County, which is easily drivable from Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, Janesville, whatever. And he put one down there in about 1989, I think he put it there, 88 or 89. So, but it was also fun, by the way, being the head of corrections, because Governor Earle, who preceded Governor Thompson, had started an early release program for prisoners who had earned it. And they got back in the community. They got paroled earlier because of their good behavior in the prison and so on. And and they were going to get out anyway at some point. So get out and get reacclimated. And also it reduced the prison population, which was a problem too. So when I took over, I knew about all that. So I asked Governor Thompson, I said, what do you think about having an early release program now? And he said, okay. He says, you do it. But he says, just remember one thing, Tim. I said, what's that? He says, the piece of paper that signs them out is going to be signed by you, not me. I said, fair enough. I am the one signing it. But I signed out, my division of corrections was a division department. They would make recommendations to me. I wasn't just sitting up there trying to figure out what to do. Mm-hmm. And they would screen people and so on, and they would make recommendations. So and rapists and murderers were not eligible.
Right.
And so I took their advice a lot. Sometimes I asked questions back, but I trusted them. And who was running the division but my good friend Steve Babbage. And he had been an assistant DA and so on. He knew the world. And I kept track of that, by the way, what happened to each one of them. And I'm not saying that none of them ever committed any kind of crime. They may have.
But the recommit.
But they weren't
level
speeding and stuff.
Right.
None of them, while I was watching it, committed a crime that would have put them back in prison.
Wow.
So
that's incredible.
Part of that was just the good screening job.
Yeah.
And of course, I think once you've been in prison, you probably just soon not go back.
Right.
So
that, and I think it goes, I think it's a good example of a corrections department that's run well. You can rehabilitate people. People can be given a second chance and do okay. But you can't just lock humans up and treat them like animals. You have to actually treat them like humans, to your point, provide them visitation to give them hope, to give them support, and then give them learning opportunities while incarcerated. And then when you get out, and then there's the whole issue we probably don't have time to get into of the disproportionality of why people are there in the first place. And that's, I mean, what do you think, just quickly, what do you think some states now are saying, look, you know, President Biden said this as well, for people that have, you know, basic, you know, marijuana charges. I mean, why are we locking people up for that?
Oh, and especially since some states you don't get locked up for.
Right. Not from some states, it's illegal.
Yeah. No, and also, unless they're serving life without parole, they're going to get out.
Right.
And so you just sit them in there for 20 years for, you know, maybe they should be there. Depends on what they did.
Yeah.
But get them out, get them back into society, and have them know that if you don't behave yourself, you're going back in.
Yeah.
And it can work.
Yeah. Well, it gives people hope that they can actually get out and have a second life, a second chance, and have it work. This new book called Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters by Tim Cullen. A lot of hope in this as well, because as we look now at what we have, fairer maps, I'll call them, the current Supreme Court basically approved Governor Evers maps, they're fairer. What could that mean in this fall's election, Tim?
Well, I think it means for sure, I think you can say this for sure, that the Democrats will probably pick up some seats in both houses, maybe more in the Assembly because more seats there. I think it's unlikely that the Democrats take over the majority. If they do, it could take them two elections or three elections, whatever. So that's what I think happens, but I'm not an expert on that stuff.
But you made the point that this, to you at least personally, as a former Democratic leader, the point isn't that Democrats take control of everything.
Correct.
The point is to make government work, right?
Exactly.
And tell folks how government can work without necessarily keeping or taking control of everything.
And see, part of this by having these maps fairer It means that the districts are more competitive.
Right.
It doesn't mean that the Republican can't stay in there and win it. Mm-hmm. But what is that? What does that candidate have to do now? All they've had to do for the last 14 years or whatever is just play to their base, make sure my base is okay. General election's a lock. Now they got to worry about the general election, and that means they got to talk to everybody and listen to everybody in their district if they want to win the general election, and that's good.
Yeah,
and it's good for Democrats right. and minorities. Same deal.
You can't be hyper left or hyper right and still win general elections in a fair competitive district. It hopefully makes candidates of both parties or all parties more centrist and listen to the people that they actually represent.
Yes.
Jeez, that sounds a little like old-fashioned democracy, small d.
Kind of does, doesn't it?
Kind of does. We're talking to Tim Cullen, former State Senate Majority Leader, Democrat from the beautiful city of Janesville. Same city as Paul Ryan. How do you get Tim Cullen and Paul Ryan out of the same city? You know him a little bit.
We're both Irish. That's the explanation. I've always gotten along very well with Paul. In fact, when I worked for Blue Cross, we had a chance to get a contract for Medicare processing Medicare mm-hmm. claims. And he was in Congress, and I talked to him about it. I said, I'm going to try to get that contract for Blue Cross. Mm-hmm. I said, but if you can help me do it, I said, we'll put the jobs in Janesville.
That's great.
So he helped. It turned out, for some crazy reason, mm-hmm. they gave the contract to a company that was a British company. It was owned by a company in England.
Really?
I never understood that, why that was mm-hmm. a good idea. But anyway, so he and I have worked together. And one thing I don't think he gets much credit for is, he and I didn't agree on policy
right.
in almost every case, but he's the Speaker of the House of Representatives. You know, second in line to be the President of the United States. If something happens to the Vice President, mm-hmm. he's the next in line. And he had all the problems of trying to work with President Trump then, that he resigned as Speaker mm-hmm. and left the Congress. And to give up the speakership tells you how strongly he felt that was a problem to trying to work with.
And it's been vocal about saying that Donald Trump lost the election in 2020, Joe Biden won it, and has now said that he believes that Trump is unqualified to be president again and has come out against him.
Actually, I didn't hear that.
Really? No,
yeah.
He's come out and said that.
Good for him.
We're gonna pick up talking more about this book, Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps of Why It Matters by Tim Cullen. But very quickly, Zomers, we have time for the first still Liz Cheney clip. We're going to play this. This is what Liz Cheney said on this week, over the weekend, about the current state of the so-called Republican Party.
There are certainly areas where I disagree with Biden administration national security policy, where I've disagreed with Vice President Harris's position on issues. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to fundamental alliances, when it comes to the importance of NATO, for example, and how important it is for the United States to lead in the world, we've seen a sea change. We now have a Republican Party that is embracing isolationism, that is embracing Putin, that, you know, we've seen just in the last week, the Republican vice presidential nominee willing to appear, willing to be interviewed by Tucker Carlson, who is platforming pro-Nazis, is himself pushing pro-Nazi propaganda. That is not the party of Ronald Reagan. And I believe strongly that if you're talking about a national security set of issues and you care about their...
So Liz Cheney went further than Paul Ryan and said she is actually endorsing and voting for Kamala Harris, as is her father, former Vice President Dick Cheney. I think that's important and significant. We have a minute left, Tim, before the break. But what are your views as a Democrat, as a former Democratic leader in the state of Wisconsin, of Democrats who are somehow throwing sand in this and trying to downplay this about the Cheneys endorsing Harris?
I didn't know that was going on, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Winning and governing is about the big tent, about getting a lot of people on your side and getting independents to vote for you, not just your Democrat or Republican Party folks. And to have those quality people, and how she got kicked around and cost her a congressional seat in Wyoming. And she was on it. She's on the January 6th committee. She knew, she has details that we don't even have,
yeah.
I'm sure. And honorable. And I thought it was even more remarkable that her dad did it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more on that. I mean, this is a coalition. This is a unique time. And I welcome anybody, for whatever their reason, if you're on the Harris Walls train, I'm with you. Come on back. I'm with Tim Cullen as well as the Todd Allball Show. 855-752-4842 on the Civic Media Ready Network.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger. It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name, Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Monday, September 9th, 2024. 10 minutes now before hour of 1 o'clock. Going to get back to this great new book with our guest live in studio, former Senate Majority Leader, Democrat Tim Cullen of the great city of Janesville, Wisconsin. His new book right here, Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters. Going to get back to the book in just a second. A couple of quick listener comments here, Tim. Jim, listening in on WISS in Oshkosh in beautiful Fond du Lac, says, please ask Tim, what is with Tommy Thompson campaigning for Donald Trump? I've said my own views on this. I think it's just one of his Achilles heels is his lust for relevance. And I think he can't help not to be in the fight. But Senator Cullen, what's your thought?
I cannot explain it. I just cannot explain it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a kind of Republican that Wisconsin loved, you know,
right?
And he's still that. I have a summer internship program. It's a crash course in state government. He's met with my interns 6 consecutive summers, and he takes them to lunch and buys, and it's an hour and a half, 2 hours, explaining and talking about his jobs and all of his jobs. He's just a great person, I believe, and I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. It's somebody that I admired growing up, but I've started this program. I'll say it again. I'm extraordinarily disappointed in Governor Thompson that he has chosen to go down the Trump train, and I don't get it either. It's, as Tim Walz said, weird. It's weird. Let's talk about something that it is not weird, and that is this book, again, Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters. I want to take a moment, Tim, to talk about, you know, you're not doing this to play a few more rounds of golf or get golf memberships. Tell folks where all the proceeds from not just this book, but your previous two go, and what happens with that money, because I think this is extraordinary.
Well, I think we touched on this a little bit, but I grew up in Janesville. I'm a lifelong resident of Janesville, which when I grew up was almost all white. Mm-hmm. My high school graduating class of 430, there were 2 black students, Timmy and Loretta Davis, no Hispanic, no Native American, no mm-hmm. Asian Americans. Today in Janesville, 32% of the kids are kids of color. But when I started the program, so what I wanted to do was, I started in 2008 when the kids were 16% of the kids were kids mm-hmm. of color, and a half of 1% of the teachers were teachers of color. And started a scholarship program, all private money, and it was provide scholarships for kids of color, people of color, who wanted to be teachers, and agreed to come back and teach in Janesville after they got their certification. And I helped start a similar program in Beloit called Grow Your Own down there. We call it Janesville Multicultural Teacher Scholarship in Janesville. That's where all the profits go, to those two scholarships.
I think this is, I mean, for kids who kids of color, minorities in, and we'll just call it Rock County, who want to go on and be teachers, you're giving them scholarships, full ride scholarships.
$7,500 a year
to go to school with the only requirement is they come back for a certain number of years.
3 years.
For 3 years and teach and give back and teach in a Rock County school.
See, I hope they stay a lot more than three.
Right.
But I didn't think it was reasonable to ask an 18-year-old to commit to 17 years teaching in Janesville or some such number. So we do three.
How many students have you put through in these programs so far, more or less?
Well, I keep track of how that percent has changed more. The half of 1% is now 7%. But we've never – here's the really good news. This – at the beginning of school year, like right now, we've never had more than 10 scholarship winners – in college at the same time. That's freshman through senior year. Never more than 10. Right now, it's 20 this year.
Wow.
So we're starting to really crank finally. And we actually expanded it. It started out with just kids in Janesville. It had to be kids in Janesville. And now it can be from anywhere. But the rules still apply.
Yeah.
You've got to apply in Janesville, and if hired, you have to stay at least 3 years. And so we're getting people like one woman, she was 32 years old, and she had worked in a daycare center. She had 2 years of college. She decided she wanted to be an elementary school teacher. Scholarship winner. She's on her way.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
It gives me goosebumps because, again, here's someone who spent a lot of time in government, went in the private sector, came back for a little time in government again, and you're using your position to continue to speak out, to craft discussions, but also actually change real lives directly for the better. And give these kids in school districts someone to look up to. I mean, how many times do we hear this? I mean, you hear it on my colleague Earl Ingram's show in Milwaukee that people of kids of color, they do better when they have folks from their own community they can look to and say, I want to be like them.
Exactly. That's a big part of it, is that they can see somebody looks like themselves so they can be a teacher. It plants that thing. But also, I actually, frankly, think it's important for the white students too, because they're going to live in an even more racially diverse America than we have, and if all they ever see is a white teacher all the way through school, then their first job, their supervisor is a person of color. They have no way to connect with them. They've had no experience connecting with a person of color. So I think it's for all the kids, but particularly it started for the kids of color.
2 minutes left, Senator Tim Cullen. What have I not asked you want to make sure the people know about, either the book or anything else you're doing?
This is a lot. I mentioned a summer internship program too, but I have three different foundations. That's the teacher student one is Kids of Color is one of them. So I work on those, and I've got my family. Unfortunately, they all but one of the kids lives in Janesville, so that's fortunate. I've got five grandkids there too, so do a little stuff with them too.
Well, that's great. Yeah. And you're a Badger fan and a Packer fan, but that's tough this time of year right now.
Yeah, it is.
You share my hatred of Peacock.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, if you're a Packer fan in Green Bay, you get to watch it without having Peacock.
Right.
But if you're a fan from Janesville or Beloit or Richland Center or whatever, the heck with you. You get Peacock or you don't get the game. That's just so offensive.
It is. I broke down and bought it this weekend because I really wanted to watch the game. Yes, I'm sorry to tell folks, my listeners, I broke down and bought Peacock for $7.99 for the month, and then they lose, and Jordan Love's out for how long? You know,
3 weeks at least.
At least.
Yeah. Well, I refuse to give in. I'm not. It's not the money because it isn't much. What, $7.99 or whatever? Right, but right. I just refuse to cave into that system.
There now, see, that's a great way to end this segment, because Tim Cullen is a guy who's never caved in, whether it's elected official, whether it's in the private sector, whether it's an author, whether it's fighting for Wisconsin values. Tim Cullen, you are part of what makes Wisconsin great, my friend.
Oh, thank you very much.
You give me hope, and it's just, I feel like it's a shot in the arm of positivity every time I get to talk to you. The new book is called Wisconsin Gerrymandering, The Fight for Permanent Fair Maps and Why It Matters. You can find it across Wisconsin at small bookstores, and also Little Creek Press. If you own a bookstore, reach out to Little Creek Press. They will set you up where you can buy it directly there at Little Creek Press. Tim Cullen, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Our pleasure. Come on back. Hour number two straight ahead right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Pat Kreitlow. Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser helps us with a little Manure 101. There's a lot to know about finding the right balance between good crops and dirty water.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.